Hey, it's the B spot, your vulnerable space to grow.
I'm Camille Veronica.
And this is our Tuesday, beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my listener? How are you doing?
Wow.
Yeah, what's up?
Hold on. Oh, no, you know what?
Let me clear my
throat.
Yeah,
clear that because God and I were real silent today. So you're the first person I actually talked to.
Oh,
I mean, like no, verbalized.
Verbalized. Right. Well, Mama not up?
No. Well, it sounded like she was up earlier, and then when I checked in, it looked like she was really practicing to see how that pillow worked. And since you know. She accommodates my need to sleep at some point because she goes to bed earlier now than she normally does. Because my mother's a night owl. She's a vampire, yeah. Actually. She's a vampire. God.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So she's been accommodating. I didn't ask her to, but she does. I mean, I tell her, I said, whenever you're ready, but yeah. Mm. So she looks like she's sleeping in heavenly peace for right now.
Yeah. Oh, on earth.
On earth, though. Come on, church. Yes.
Oh, on earth. Listen, church. Speaking of church.
Are we?
No, we're not. We are, but we're not. But let me say, but speaking of church, let me just tell you. Again, pastor brought the phone.
Yes.
When I tell you, he called into order what was needed to be said. And like, yes, very pillar, you know, in the moment.
Yes.
So yeah, good message. If you guys are tuning in for the first time to the V Spot, this is our Tuesday segment, and we really delegated it to be family friendly, fun, and probably the one you want to share with other people. I don't know. You might want to share our Fridays.
I think all of them are quality. All of them stand.
All of them.
They stand in their own. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, they mm-hmm. do. Yes, they do. This one is just really very attempted to be PG. It still maintains the relevancy of or the mission of our V-Spot platform, which is to go into vulnerable spaces and have conversations that either you are not really sure about how to address them, or maybe you are someone who's had ideas or thoughts about it, but just didn't feel confident enough to bring them up. And so we try to do our best to share our regular conversations because we have regular conversations. And we try to just bring them out to the public and yeah, pull them out to private. For today, school's back for Miami and it was a national I'm gonna call it a national disaster.
Oh Lord, was it?
Yes.
Was it?
Systems just did not work. Teacher after 2 weeks of what? Teachers getting ready, systems crashing. The superintendent had to face the fire yesterday, and I think he did it. He did it. He owned it. I'm always under the idea of we knew this was going to happen. Mm. And so why are we now, you know, you're going to have to apologize, but why are you feeling like you don't have to listen to those that are trying to explain to you what needs to happen in order for this to be successful from the jump?
Now that's a big statement. You're saying that our district superintendent is not listening.
Well, I think he is listening, but he's not following through. I think there's let me be clear. We all believe there's a difference between listening and hearing.
Right.
You know, isn't it saying somewhere in that B-I-B-L-E, hearing comes by the word, something like that? Doesn't it say something like that?
You know what?
There's a difference, right? And so you can people can say things to you and make recommendations to you that are of, and get me, these are people who are experts in that area. I'm not just talking about any Joe Schmo. I'm talking about experts in that area. And whether you feel you're financially capable of managing that or not, just know that you're going to suffer the consequences if you don't put these things in place, right? And so we've said multiple times, you know, it is better to be prepared so that you don't have to get prepared. Right. So you be ready so that you don't have to get ready. And we've known we've been behind the eight ball in our education system, our platforms. Teachers who did not that were not trained to serve in virtual spaces before graduating college, you were behind the eight ball, yes. Right? And that's just plain and simple. And so now you have double teaching processes to go along with this, you know? So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what's, with regards to teachers, I think of myself, I was trained in an analog world and then entered into a digital world of teaching and definitely had to play catch up.
Come on, Erica Badu.
Come on, boo. And had to play catch up really super fast, you know, so that at least I could use the technology that was literally in my room to connect and to teach. So again, I mean, this is going to be a whole new level of teacher training now that wasn't there beforehand. Nobody thought about beforehand. I think it's really
well.
You're right. Not that no one thought about. You're right. People have been doing it. People have been talking about it. But you know, as always, we are always lagging behind sorely when we come to you know our education system. It's training. It's implementation. All those things like that. But you know what? I'm about to go someplace else, but let me stay right here. So yesterday I checked in with my son who diligently got up to go to school. And I say that because he typically has to be at school at 7:20, but now with the virtual classes, his classes were to start at 8. And he said, I got up, did my routine, and at 7:30, I just went online just to make sure that I could navigate around, know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. He said at 8 o'clock, the system was so overloaded because everybody and their mama was trying to get on. Whereas he kind of had a spot, it didn't matter because there was nothing going on. You see, talked to one of my teacher friends and you know, because her post up was the picture of the server error. That was her first day of school. the thing that I'm surprised but not surprised about is that they had this problem during the beginning of the pandemic.
Yep.
And they still
had all summer.
Yes, they had all summer. But I think this is me. I could be wrong. This is not based on any factual information whatsoever. I think folks was waiting around like, well, wait, are we doing something or not? You know, like, are kids coming back? Are they not? Is this pandemic going to be over? Is it not?
And that's the sad thing because they had, again, you know, and probably that was what the pushback was, right? Because they were anticipating on having FaceTime opportunity again so they could once again lag in their need to address the technology, you know, and making sure, and it's difficult because you're talking about bandwidth. Every child does not have, we just downsized our internet servers here at the museum because there's nobody here. There's nobody. And let me tell you, it is tremendously dollar slow. It's like that. So if you're talking about houses, homes, and that's still a $160 bill just with us downgrading to the basic. You don't have that luxury unless you're telling me every child that's registered in the school system has now high width band internet access at their home, which means you would have had to have connected to these cable companies and ensured that they received a waiver. I didn't hear none of that happening.
Well, probably not. Now, one thing that was available before all of this pandemic was that there were programs available that if you had a child enrolled in school, you could qualify for internet access at a lower rate.
Yes, through Comcast.
So there was that. Now, what you're describing, whole nother thing. And on top of that, remember this. Now, you know, My house does not function without some serious internet, right? But our location is one of the reasons why when there's a problem in our area because of our location. I mean, all of the people who try to sell you a new plan come out and state that. And we know it, but we just keep playing. Like, they go, a piece of aluminum foil will fix that, you know? So you could even have what you think you need and still have some problems. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a perfect situation, but at least to have it in the first place, I doubt seriously that there was either the full funding or the full decision to go ahead and make sure those things were in place so that you don't have to. But honestly, like, look, up here in Michigan, there's some areas where they're like, you know, we just don't have the capacity. And so it's stuff like you got to go to the parking lot of a certain place, you know, to get what you need. Now, mind you, that will be a great story when you when your children have children and they're like, we had to go to the parking lot to get us some internet. That'll be a great story. But in the middle of, but you know what, also it could force your children to do stuff on time, because anybody got time to go out at 3 a.m. when you finally decide to get up and do your work? I need some internet. I don't know. I think this problem in Miami-Dade is unfortunately indicative of how this whole pandemic, how education itself has been treated. And
policies.
Right. And, you know, I thought so interesting that all of the universities in our area went online immediately. As soon as this pandemic thing came up, there was no break in their learning. None. Yet our schools had seemed nowhere near ready like that. And the idea, I know for at least 10 years, I know of discussions around colleges moving towards online schooling because of cost, all these things like that.
20 years.
Right. Yeah, plus. Well, you're right. It's 20. I'm saying I know of at least 10, you know, because that's where I actually entered in the conversation and began talking to people about it. Like, wait a minute. We're gonna exclude that whole room and board thing, you know? And as a matter of fact, I even worked with a fellow who was in the process of developing online schools that would allow, was specifically for immigrant students who, you know, at that time, that was the beginning of the DREAM Act, and people were, that wasn't the beginning, but, you know, at the early stages of the DREAM Act. And he was looking at that community of people, you know, who can't necessarily get into, some of them couldn't get into college because of their status. And he was like, well, what if you created a college that didn't have a physical structure and you did all these things? And so pretty much anybody could get in who qualified, but I mean, but without those barriers that are up for everybody else, you know, cost and location
and
documentation, things like that. So I just thought it was super interesting that my friends who were in college in the area were saying, oh yeah, we're still in classes. Yeah, we just switched over to online. And yet, but I'm not surprised, because the same studies that showed, you know, reading to your children at an early age will help your children to, you know, excel. Right. It's the same studies that were saying online schooling, you know, will alleviate a lot of, you know, X, Y's and Z's. Yeah. Now, let me just say this, though. Yesterday, I checked in with my niece who is in Maryland. And when I checked in with her, she was actually in class. It was an accident, but it wasn't. But I just got to say this. How come it was there was a child in class on the first day with a bonnet on her head? Okay, thank you.
Oh, she did not.
Yes, no, she did. Yes,
no, she did. Well, maybe she had the video off. She was just in audio, but audio only.
No, she showed me the video. She put her phone up to her screen and said, there's a girl in this class with a bonnet on her head.
No, she not.
Yes, she did. Parents, do know this, that there is no handbook for how you will do your online schooling. Set some standards for your family and your household.
Well, schools have set that. I think schools have even, some schools have even required uniforms.
Some have, but the thing is, they're still, it's kind of like we write it as we go along.
Right.
So there's some stuff that hasn't been, yes, there are some basic rules that have been established. I'm just saying it's like some common sense stuff, y'all. That's all I'm saying. Like I told my son, wear the uniform shirt, whether or not they tell you or not, because then you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You can go to sleep in that sucker and get up.
It was clear. Let me tell you, I think for somebody who understands education, and this is what drives me to think that it's just negligence mm-hmm. and pure selfishness mm-hmm. because we understand the importance of planning. Mm-hmm. I can tell you immediately, I will not enter into a summer program without having an orientation. Mm-hmm. Although that these kids were returning back to school, they should have been required to participate in an orientation. Yep. This first 2 days should be nothing but orientation. Mm-hmm. Meaning we're not even adjusting. We're not talking about grades. We're not talking about classes. We're talking about orientation to what the internet is. Mm-hmm. You gave it to teachers, mm-hmm. right? You gave teachers this. The orientation then will cover dress code, mm-hmm. Ways to better connect with your teacher, mm-hmm. how you can. All of these things are easy, basic, common practices for teaching. So whether the parents know it or whether the child knows it, teachers, we know this. Mm-hmm. We know this. And so when you have administration that doesn't apply the basic things that you learn in, you know, ed 101, you know, even down to classroom management, mm-hmm. classroom management on the internet, you now have to have a conversation about what does classroom etiquette, classroom management look like on the internet, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And it comes from a number of places. How are you able to judge that, right? You can't tell me that we don't know this, right? And right. So that's I think that's why I wanted to spend this time this morning on this Tuesday, because I know that even though the South is starting back, many states have already started back. Mm-hmm. And I would be interested in knowing, what are some of the hiccups? What are some of the successes that you've had with going online? I know some of you all were already concerned about your child getting up early in the morning and catching a bus. Mm-hmm. Now they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I am under the feeling, I hope they relocated those bus drivers. I hope the cafeteria workers, you know, all of these families who are used to working during this time of the season, you know, what have they done? Mm-hmm. Now, I can't admit some of those companies, some of our maintenance and cleaning companies have hired mm-hmm. A large number of bus workers that would normally work for the school system. They've hired them to work in some of these sanitary spaces. Mm-hmm. But that's if they want to do that, mm-hmm. right? You know, that's the other thing. You know, you have these pool of places. But there were some parents that were like, look, I'm glad I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have my child at a bus stop at 6 o'clock before the sun even comes up. You know, I'm glad, you know, so I want to know, you know, what are some of the benefits? What are some of the hiccups? What are some of the answers to the broken systems, mm-hmm. you know, that you feel work? Does this really show the true hand of our education system? Right.
Right.
Does this really get, this is the proof in the pudding that we may not be as smart as we think we are, mm-hmm. right? Or as they perceive themselves to be. You know, I quite frankly know I'm not. But
mm-hmm. Right.
I own that, right? You know, and I know, but I'm smart enough to know how to get the people who know how to do what I need to do, right? So, yeah, that's why I wanted to just jump on and get, if you're a student, if you are a child in class, I want to hear your feedback. I want to know, you know, what are some things that you think could be better? Mm-hmm. You know, how did you feel getting on? I mean, I'm grateful to see that my young prince knew to get on 30 minutes prior. Mm-hmm. But him being on 30 minutes prior when the rest of the class was still coming in at 8 o'clock. And, you know, that's what we're dealing mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. I know I had court for the first time for a traffic citation online. Mm-hmm. And I literally said before, I was like, wow, this was great. And the judge looked at me and laughed and was like, yeah, it really is. You know, it's like, this is great. Look, I'm here. I'm presently in professional attire. Because mm-hmm. again, that doesn't equate. You're going in front of a magistrate. Mm-hmm. So you still have to maintain some sense of etiquette. You know, you don't want to be you want to be in a quiet space. You don't want to be digging in your nose. Right. You want to make sure you've looked in the mirror, you know? So maybe that's the other thing. Maybe if the school's not giving you an orientation, doggone it, take this as an orientation. Take this podcast and say, look, these are some things we need to be doing. We need to make sure that we're not eating at the computer. To be eating your breakfast in the classroom. No, this is still class. You need to eat before. This is not the chewing no gum, smacking. This needs to be, if you want to change your background, put a background up there. Make sure you have proper lighting. How do you have proper lighting? The light needs to shine in your face, not in your back, not on your side. So turn to your face. Get in a proper seat. Get a seat that you actually feel comfortable with. And try it out and see if it works for you. If you're on a keyboard or on a laptop, having the laptop in your lap is unsafe. There's a lot of heat that comes through that laptop, and you don't need to do that. You know, sitting on a flat surface. You know, those are just some things. Use this, you know, doggone it. And then if you got to go to the bathroom, I don't know, maybe they have a rule for you to be able to go to the bathroom. Maybe you have to raise your hand or push a button.
How am I going to raise my hand in my, I mean, I know there's a raise your hand.
No, there's a raise your hand.
No, I know that, but I'm saying I'm in my house. I gotta get permission in class to go to the bathroom in my house.
Well, in the normal regular classroom, you don't. Teachers, mm-hmm. well, we eliminated that. You remember, and that there was a time when you had to have a pass.
Right. No, this, you still got to have a pass.
Yeah, you got to get the pass off the door. And so, but you didn't have to say, teacher, can I go to the bathroom? But now you're in a different system where if you just blanketly dismiss off the computer and I don't see you no more and you don't come back for 20, 30 minutes, I might think you done went to the corner store. I might not remember that you done went to the bathroom. So I think there's a slightly different thing that needs to happen when you're on virtual.
So we right? can't, but we can't, I think we can't hold on to, well, in the normal classroom, we did this. And I think you got to get away from that because for real, mm-hmm. The danger in treating the virtual classroom like the normal one is huge. You know, I mean, even down to their schedules.
Danger.
They're still on a schedule like a full day.
It's horrible. That's horrible.
There's no need for me to be on the computer that long. And yeah, there's 10-minute breaks, but I don't need, first of all, you don't have the distractions of the classroom. So you mm-hmm. ought to be able to teach your information in a manner much faster. And there needs to be some, you know, juggling between on screen and off screen. I don't need to be on all day long. It just, I just don't think, I think they're still approaching it like the regular classroom. And it's going to end up being a lot of wasted time or busy time, or our faces are just going to be glued to a screen. And that's why I say, okay, if I have 10 minutes in between, technically I should be able to go to the bathroom at that time period, but like say nature calls and you don't, you know, yeah, there needs to be some kind of just general understanding of, yeah, you in your house, you ought to be able to go to the bathroom. However, if you go and then you go get a sandwich and then you go fold the clothes and then you go check on grandma and then you come back, you're no longer in class.
You're no longer. No. I mean, there's no going to the principal's office on this one. I guess you go to the principal's office. You're no longer in class.
Right. And I think parents also have to make sure that they are proactively engaged in this early stage so they too know what's working, what's not working, you know, that they make themselves available to help troubleshoot, you know, all those things. And it's not just, you know, I'm thinking on a high school level, because that's what I'm dealing with, but at whatever level, you know, your child is engaged, parents, always, we have to make sure, especially with this whole new formatting of things for students who have not been in class all day on a computer. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we know and monitor our children to make sure that the screen time is not wearing them down or overwhelming them or anything like that. And then that they have physical breaks
mm-hmm.
outside of the screen, because if you're going to tell my child to be on the screen from 8 to 3, we need to be outside for a good hour just to detox from the screen, yeah. you know,
yep.
And providing that space for, if that means we're taking family walks or what, or we're going to climb up and down the stairs in our apartment building, whatever it is, something mm-hmm. that moves them off that screen, you know, parents, yeah. we got to be on it.
And we have to, and I'm glad you're saying that, because it's imperative that the parents take control of the response that their children are giving them, because this is in the figuring it out as we go along. This is a great time for parents to say, listen, I'm part of this process mm-hmm. of figuring it out. And so it's not working in my house. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm experiencing. The PTSAs and the parent teacher organizations that are in your school, this is the best time to join them.
Yes.
Because now they are getting feedback and taking that feedback directly to administration, and administration is responsible for responding.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we need. We really do need that. And I mean, we coming up into 3 months, potentially 3 months into this type of learning experience. So yeah, I think this is what I wanted us to kind of highlight. I am going to come back. Please check in with us on Friday. I believe if nothing happens, I normally do not talk about what the topic will particularly be, but I really want to talk about suffering in silence.
Mm.
You just never know. And I want to talk about that Friday. It may not be the most sexiest topic, but for sure it is one that I am a victim of, and I want to just throw some air on it. Just put some air on it. Put some. I want to put a Beyonce fan on it.
Oh, okay.
I want to put a Beyonce fan on it. Suffering silence. So that'll be on Friday. Maybe suffering in silence. You just never know. Wow. This has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel,
and I'm Camille Veronica.
And we're so delighted that you decided to stop by and join us. You might want to let this be part of your Tuesday classroom experience. Hey, why not, teachers?
Mm.
Parents, have a great one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, you have tuned into the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow, where we are so excited to talk about those different topics that can particularly be a little bit more challenging to speak to or speak on. We help you to get to that point. But listen, we want to know what you want to hear. So we are here for you. If you have any topics, any suggestions, anything you just really have on your heart and you want some information about, tag us. Go ahead and hit us a message in our vspotradio@gmail.com, or you can hit us on Instagram. You can also hit us up on Facebook at the Vspot Radio. So please, by all means, we're here. We want to hear from you. This has been the Vspot, your vulnerable space to grow.
You've been listening to the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow, with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at the V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email, email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.